Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Check us out online. You can find all of our episodes at rockpaperpodcast.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, and go ahead and like and review and rate and all that other fun stuff. I'm hanging out here with Gabe and Mario from Sky Burnt White. So what's up, guys?
How's it going?
What's up?
So I guess first time I got to see you guys live. Me and Gabe have been talking a little bit through the internet, and he sent me some stuff. But the first time I got to see you guys live was at the Inkspot Block Party we just talked about a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was a cool day.
It was a good, yeah, it was a fucking awesome time.
Yeah, that was a great time.
They treat you better than, like, any show ever.
Yeah.
Like, you just show up and you play a 30-minute set, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then you're there, like, I swear, like, I am so old now. Like, I'm almost 30, I feel old. But, like, everybody I played music with for the past 10 years was there.
Yeah.
So, like, it was...
It's just a reunion of a bunch of good friends who were in good bands.
It's
just,
but it's a shit fest, too.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean...
Because, like, VIP, did you get to go in there?
Yeah, I mean, they gave me a wristband, and but I didn't really go in there much, but I did go in there.
Which, just for a local show, just really impressed me. Because there are so many local bands, and, dude, like, they took care of us. We went in there, we didn't pay for a thing.
No.
And, like, we didn't know about it. That's the thing. They even came and told us, because it was our first year playing.
Yeah.
But it was awesome, dude.
I didn't even know about it. Like, I had left with our bass player, James Dill, and we went to town to go grab beer, and we went to go eat some Mexican food. We had food tickets and stuff, but I didn't even know that it was going to be, like, the food that they had there, like pulled pork nachos and all that stuff. So we went and ate Mexican, and I downed a pitcher of margarita there. And I was already feeling pretty good, and then I grabbed 2x4s for James and I on the way back. And then midway through, Gabe calls me and is like, dude, you guys got to get back here. There's a whole VIP area where they're giving out, like, free mixed drinks and free beer and all that stuff. So, and it was air conditioning, like, that pavilion.
Right.
So.
We don't, like, want to sound, like, I don't want us to sound like we're just, like, all we do is fucking party, because we don't. We're, like, so old now.
Right.
But we there was a time.
There had been. We
were not legends at all, but we had good times. But anyway, it was just impressive because, dude, like, so many venues don't even fucking do anything for you anymore.
Right.
Like, you got to pay to play shows, like, a lot of times, which is just so, like, unless it's, like, worth it. I mean, because there are times where I think it might be worth it. Like, we played with Alien Ant Farm.
Right.
And we basically had to pay to play that show. But for the most part, just because, like, it was one of our first couple shows as this band, like, I think it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also, too, just for the experience and shaking some of the dust off, it was good.
Right.
But Inkspot was awesome.
I mean, that Inkspot, like, this is it's my third year I've went. And I've become good friends now with everybody that behind the scenes with, Big Dave and Jesse and, I'm drawing blanks now, Robbie and everybody, so... But I've got to know, saw all them, and they, you know, they're just all super cool people. But they put on, that's like, every year, it's the best local rock show you can find for that. And, like, this year they were giving away tickets for free, or it was $5 at the door. Last year was $1 I paid to get in, and I got to see Hurt, Cavo, Shaman's Harvest, Brook Royal. For a buck.
Yeah.
You can't find that anywhere.
You can't even shake a stick at that, Shane.
No.
But I mean, this year lineup again was unreal. Like it was, it's fun to watch it grow, and I like the the love and support for all the local music or around the Midwest here and stuff.
Yeah.
So many there's so many of us were friends too.
Yeah.
Can't stress that enough how cool it was, and just to see also, you know, other bands that are doing well, that are, you know, on the grand scheme of things, at the same time not you know, nobody's making a whole lot of money when we're doing this, for one thing, but you know, there's not a many major label bands around anymore, but there's a lot of guys with a little more experience than you, and there's some guys that, with a lot less experience and with a lot more, you know, just all different types of people. But like I said, it's just cool because I mean, we saw so many friends. Yeah. And everybody's a lot of people still playing music. I mean, Jake Harrington, which is Scooter, a lot of people know him, Scooter Baggins, man. He was I call him my bass player, in the first band I was ever in high school. So we have, but every good hookup I've ever had, honestly, and I've thought about this, has come from him. And it's not like we stay super tight anymore, because we don't talk all the time or anything like that. But that guy is just a good friend, and he always has been. And he'll just drop my demos or something to different people, and then next thing you know, I've got a pretty cool hookup or a good friend. You know, just he's just a good guy.
Yeah, I've become quite close with Jake or Scooter through Fivefold. And
awesome band, man.
Yeah. He was always just, you know, as I came up through with that band, you know, being a big fan of theirs and constantly supporting them and things, I got, you know, very close with all those guys. And it's fun to move from fan to friend. And, and like I said, Jake's always been super cool to me and you know, reaches out to help whenever he can. And that's what's fun about this whole music thing is and getting them to make those lifelong friendships and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in and out of the, you know, St. Louis music scene since I was in high school. You know, I mean, I've played with a lot of, I've done a lot of cool things, you know, especially with Gabe and I specifically, you know, throughout, you know, the whole thing.
It's trying to make me feel good.
But, you know, it is really cool to see, you know, I remember Jack from Brook Royal back whenever he was the lead singer in the Fifth Element. You know what I mean? And that was, you know, whenever I was 17, I'm, you know, shit, I'm really close to being 33.
You're,
you know,
old as fuck.
I know, right? But, you know, it's just really cool. You know, I mean, I've played with, you know, a lot of good people, and meeting Gabe, like, it was almost kind of weird how it was just completely by chance that I moved back to the town that he particularly lived in, and we just had this one really loose friend, you know what I mean, between the two of, like, not loose, like as in, like, as in, you know, like Sharon Stone Basic Instinct loose, but like,
you watch it,
but yeah. And then I mean, we just click really well together, you know, as far as writing music and stuff like that.
So when did this all, like, this current project is Skyburnt White come together? Like, well, so you got, because you guys are still in the middle of recording right now and stuff. And
we are actually 10 songs done, pretty much.
Yeah.
And we've got 3 more to track.
3 of you to go. Yeah.
And I'm hoping to have it out by November, December.
Nice.
So, it's didn't you? Do we need to fix that?
No.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I can fix it right
now. Earpiece down.
Just breaking your headphones.
All right. You want me to fix it?
Turn my headphones up.
I got no snare in my headphone with me. Sorry.
No.
There we go. Fixed it. Good as new.
Didn't you remember Sick Love?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you wanted to go into it tonight, but
sure.
I don't know Sick Love. But the only time I was going to go to see you guys, so you guys were on a bill with, it was either Hollow Point Heroes or Exit 714. I think it was Exit.
Was it the Halloween show?
Probably.
You dropped off it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got super excited because, somebody,
sucked.
Somebody gave me a copy of your guys' EP, and I listened to that, and I was just blown away. And so I got real pumped up to see Sick Love, and then like then you guys had to drop off, and so I was pretty bummed about that, but I kept waiting to like maybe another show was gonna pop up, and then
yeah,
I guess the band fell apart there, and but now you guys are you got this one new project going.
Well, yeah, kinda. I mean, basically, Sick Love was the first EP was called The End of the Beginning, and it was really kind of funny because somebody that like used to listen to us a lot commented they were like this is like almost prophetic or whatever, like said something. He always teases us about not playing anymore. But
is that Les?
Huh?
Is that Les?
Les. Yeah, Les. Awesome guy.
Yeah.
But he's also an asshole and he would appreciate me saying that.
He's another one like you know, we talked about friendships and things, like I through Fivefold and everything else, like I've got to meet Les and Janine from going to shows, and you know, we when she started running into the same people every show, I start hanging out. So it's like I actually hang with more people that I know through music, you know, through these shows, than like my own friends, because like I mean I'm constantly seeing them, you know, once a week or twice a week or whatever it is at all these shows. So it's fun to. It's fun to, you know, like I said, music brings us all together. And, but anyway, sorry, we won't keep going on about.
It's fine. Like, me and Mario are also in another old band, and not to keep dropping old band names because every musician's been in like 15 bands, but like Stone Dog Diaries, which was like a band that was really important to me, and I think you too, Mario.
Yeah.
We did a lot with that, but it wasn't like, we weren't. I think Sick Love was a lot more commercial sounding.
Yeah.
Stone Dogs was a little bit more dirty, and really, we weren't that good yet. To be honest with you, I mean, like, it was, like, almost there, but we just weren't hitting it in some spaces.
Yeah.
So, during Sick Love, whenever Sick Love actually started wrapping up, I just started recording at home. Because we missed shows because, like, we just kind of got sick of it, kind of got sick of each other. Because you gotta, like, nobody, like, we were, like, friends for a long time, and just, like, things happen, and we're all cool, like, we're all still friends now.
Mm-hmm.
But it just came to a point to where it was just time for us to go separate ways.
Sure.
At the same time, the same thing kind of happened with me and Mario too with Stone Dogs. Like one day we were playing the show out of town and the next morning we get into it and it was the fucking stupidest fight
most ridiculous
ever.
Shit ever.
The girliest fight ever.
Yeah.
Too, which is just fucking ridiculous.
It was like it's like Laverne and Shirley.
We didn't even
punch
each other.
Right.
Like it was just like pushing.
We like ruined two good shirts.
Yeah, he ripped my favorite
shirt. Just from stretching them.
And I just like put my another shirt like
still butthurt about that
shirt.
And
I'm just like motherfucker, and I just like drove all the way home and didn't stop. Just like
yeah, and then we had to ride in the same damn car together.
And we're talking, dude. This
awkward.
Is the tiniest car,
awkward.
Right?
Awkward.
And I'm talking, Shane, there's like seven people in this fucking like Ford Fiesta looking car. Like all in there, and I'm just like trucking down the road. I'm not fucking looking at him, nothing.
Just mad as shit.
And we, obviously we made up and it's fine. But anyway, after all that happened, I just started recording my own stuff.
Right.
And I through a few connections, I started making some background music for this one-off studio in St. Louis that did one-off Sunday morning TV shows on Channel 11, you know what I mean? but they used some
fishing
music.
With Phil.
And dude, they paid me for it, which was cool.
Yeah.
But it's not like, I don't do that anymore, and I didn't make a whole lot of money or anything off that, but the thing is, like, I learned to record, and once I learned to do that, it really kind of made me better, and so I just made a bunch of songs, and some of the songs, like, a few of the songs that we do with Skyburn White Now that we recorded, we, like, wrote together, like, Prodigy's one in particular on the album that we made together, like, that's, like, primarily your parts, you know what I mean, but, like, whatever, but Skyburn White, like, the majority of the album and everything is a bunch of stuff that I did.
Right.
And that's part of why it's important to me, you know, for these guys to be in it, because they're my best friends. But life took everybody different places, and I don't think that I'm at a place to say that, like, you know, you did your own thing for a while, Dill did his own thing. Like, everybody that's in this band was doing their own thing.
Right.
And while they were doing their own thing, I was also doing mine. And that was just making a bunch of songs. And I just knew, you know, I just knew that I don't really know how to explain it. Like, I just thought if I made them, like, somebody would hear them and be like, you know, help me get it off the ground. And that's basically what they did.
Yeah.
And Mario's done that several times.
Mm-hmm.
But they really get me. And as far as putting it together live, like, you know, it when we're playing live, like, and Jake too, when Jake comes up with his drum parts and stuff, like, I didn't, like, that's Jake, you know what I mean? Like, they do their own thing, they groove in their own way when we're doing it live and stuff. So, I mean, this band as a whole is just, it's a play off all of our talents and all the things I've learned off them. But at the same time, like, it is, the album is a lot of my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kind of the whole point for me, is to finally be to the point to where I can have a band and these guys will go with me and we're going to do this, you know, and really producing a lot more and stuff like that. It's really more of a delve into what I think should happen in different areas of songs and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's pretty common, like, now, like, where a lot of, you know, stuff might start, like, with a singer-songwriter and a guitar, but when they take it to the studio and then you get the full band sound coming together, like, it might start with an idea, but it snowballs into the full song, you know, the finished product, and, you know, but that's cool that, you know, you guys can break off, do your own things, but come back together and, you know, ultimately, you know, start this project up.
Yeah, and I mean, not to keep talking about it or anything, I'm sorry if I talk too much.
Oh, man, that's what it's for, man.
I just feel like, you know, the background of it, there's just a lot that people probably don't care about, which is fine, but to me is important because I think about it. Like, you know, I've been in a lot of bands with these guys, so as far as, like, this music is just, it has, you know, to me, it has a lot of meaning because basically, when you look at, like, whatever album we're talking about, because we look at about an album's worth of songs with each band we've been in, and, like, you can look and see different themes and stuff and how we've grown, not just, like, lyric-wise and stuff, but also, like, song-wise and talent-wise and everything else. And I just think that this is, I think it's a good picture of where I was, because when I wrote a lot of these songs, I basically went into my apartment and just was alone for, like, you know, 4 or 5 months, and I did nothing but go to work and come home and record every single night. And I mean, that's literally what I did, and that's what it came from. And I missed those guys, you know, too. And I missed, you know, just that, but just a lot of things about playing and stuff. So this band really means a lot, and it really means a lot to have them. You know, I keep saying it, but it means a lot to have them play with me, and just the fact that we're finally playing shows and we're doing pretty well, you know. So it's
sure,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, still a new project, but you guys are, you mentioned you already opened for Alien Ant Farm a little bit ago.
Boy Hits Car,
which was awesome.
It was so cool. I mean,
you know Boy Hits Car?
Yeah. That's going back a little while. But.
Dude, I know, but, like, you know what I keep thinking about and I keep getting excited about? Like, I just can't wait to see who keeps coming through town, because there's a lot of bands that are coming through. And, like, this is a point that I just, my mind gets blown when I talk about this and stuff. Boy Hits Car, they're in Europe right now. And if you look at, like, their pictures and stuff, like, there are tons of fans, like, in Europe. Like, they're playing, like, these huge shows and, like, fans everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, like, I hung out with Craig, the singer, like, for a little bit after the show. And he was, like, just, he told us that he's come through St. Louis and played for less people that were there the night we played with him.
Yeah.
And that was Father's Day night. And, dude, like, there were maybe, like, 50 people?
The bands that played in their girlfriends, pretty much. Yeah. You know?
Dude, how cool is it? I don't care what anybody has to say. Dude, for me, I love Boy Hits Car. And I'm not just saying that. I really do. And, like, for me, just the fact, and everybody in the band pretty much loved them.
It was awesome.
You gotta understand, man, as a fan.
Yeah, to be in that intimate of a venue. And, like,
we just hung out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I try to tell people that all the time. Like, you know, for me, I go to all these shows, like, and, you know, a lot of them being local shows, but also a lot of national acts that, like, the NY, I see in these tiny little venues where after the show we get to hang out, you know, and like you don't get that very often, especially if you follow any larger bands, because they're, you know, there's too many people and everything else, but
it's
like
impersonal.
Yeah. But I love that experience where I can come and get my CD signed and take a picture and hang out and talk about the songs or whatever it is, you know. And
the songs, the tour, all that stuff.
You know what, though? Like, social media is awesome because, like, the guys from Boy Hits Car have, like, kind of just kept up with us every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, just online, like...
Well, beyond today, the dudes from Washington.
Yeah, just like...
I mean, meeting those guys, like, they went completely joined Boy Hits Car on that tour, completely self-funded. They only did, like, 6 dates.
Yeah.
And they played, you know, shows, of course, on the way down just to, you know, kind of keep everything going, keep the gas flowing. But, you know, those guys, I mean, I still keep in touch with Tony, their bass player, you know? I mean, they're great guys, and you just, you know, we wouldn't have done that if we didn't have the experience that we've had and met the people that we did to be able to get these shows, you know what I mean? Like, the Beard, specifically, I've known that guy since, you know, we were 18 years old, he was 17, I mean, we go back to high school, you know? Right, we were schoolgirls, you know?
You touched on, like, Europe and stuff, like, I don't really know, I've obviously never been over there, but it's weird, like, I know other people have toured, like, I know it's Nikki Hill and Matt Hill, and they're blues from St. Louis, and they go over there, and or they're more, I guess, blues and rock and roll, but they go over there, and they're rock stars, you know, like,
yeah.
They play these huge shows, and, you know, like I said, the same thing, I've seen the pictures and things, but then they come home. And even in their own hometown, like, I mean, they still draw a pretty good crowd, but it's not like that over there. And it's just like, it's weird to see what's going on, like, where it gets lost in, you know, translation or whatever. Because like I said, the Europeans, and they seem to really love their rock and roll, and
they do,
and it's just like here.
From what I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that's just my observation.
So do the Japanese.
Like, I'm speaking for them. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
But that's the
only thing I know about Europeans.
Yeah.
They love their damn rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. But yeah, you see these just giant shows, and it's like, just, I don't know. I don't get why over here, I don't know if it has to do with radio or what, but, I mean.
Why doesn't it happen?
Has to do with money.
Well, yeah. You know, it just... I just did a Stevie Ewing right there. You see that? I love Stevie Ewing. Cool guy. I've met him. I have.
I slapped his ass. Once at Pops. He was. What was that, like, a Thursday? What was that show? I mean, it was a Stone Dog show. Yeah.
Maybe.
He's felt the wrath of this hand.
Me and Steve.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy, though.
My apartment smells
like... Dude, you know what?
Mahogany.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I do, because I hate you.
No.
But, I saw him at the Tilted Kilt in fucking Arnold, I think, like, in 2010 or some shit. Dude, tore the fucking house down. And I'm talking, like, played Urge stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it was awesome.
Was it full band or acoustic?
I'm not just saying that, man. He was really awesome. He was really good.
Was it full band or acoustic?
It was, like, full band.
Yeah?
Yeah. But, right, like, one guitar player and a bass player and a drummer.
Right.
Just awesome, though. And they played
I saw them at, like, Eureka Days or some shit like that.
I can't feel.
Yeah. Brainless.
Their drummer's awesome.
Brainless.
I don't know who he is, but he's
John
awesome.
Pisoni.
Yeah. There it is.
Sorry.
John Pisoni is awesome.
No. We got a long way to go.
Stop worrying about talking too much.
Yeah, yeah, keep talking. We got...
Can I hit this?
Do it. Roll whatever you want.
Anyway. So I says to her, I said no.
So we got the album we talked about.
Yeah, man.
We got, and you're hoping for November?
Hoping for November, man.
Yeah,
and
see what happens.
I mean, it's been a process. It's been a while. And if, like, anybody that's been paying attention, like, knows it's been a while. And, I mean, if whoever's going to listen to this, I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because, seriously, there's some people in particular. Ricardo Lima is one guy I actually want to give a shout out to, because he's probably going to listen to this. This guy from Brazil that found us on Reverb Nation whenever we were going under Gabriel Constantine, which is his old name I used for music. And he's an awesome guy. He's so supportive, and he's always, like, asking what we got going on and stuff. And this guy, like, there's been a couple times where, like, he would just send me a message just to, like, keep me going. Like, just an encouraging message or something. Like, and out of nowhere, like, one time in particular, like, he just sends me this message about the music, because I would send him some scratch tracks and stuff, like, before it was all finalized, just so we could hear some ideas. And just you know, it wasn't flattery and nothing like that, but just like encouraging words, you know, and it just, it means a lot more than people realize sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking hard, dude. I mean, like, it's not easy at all to do this and try to do it for real, like, right. at all, or like be serious about it, you know?
It's, I mean, and like, I think maybe sometimes people forget that life happens, you know, along the way too. Like, you know, it'd be nice if we could all, you know, quit our day jobs and do this for a living, but,
right.
you know, that's not.
And that's where, you know, that's what really is so shitty about the whole pay to play deal, because I mean, I have a kid coming, you know what I mean? I'm married, I have a wife, I mean, I have bills, I have, you know, a life just like everybody else.
Right.
And when, you know, twice a month you're shelling out $100 or so every single time, I mean, it gets hard, you know? And on top of that, you have to record, and everything comes out of pocket until you get to that point to where somebody believes in you enough to try to, you know.
Sorry.
When somebody believes in you enough to you know, to push you, to back you.
Yeah.
So. Oh,
yeah.
And that chance is like winning the lottery twice.
Right.
You know.
I do all I can, man, trying to support these bands because I do believe in them, and like I, you know, that's why I started this project, and I do what I can, to, so like at least I can try to possibly turn a new fan on to what's going on, and they can get out and experience what I enjoy so much, and then, you know, it's kind of always like the Wayne's World, like. And they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and so on. And so, you know, so
yeah, that's ideally what should happen.
Yeah, I mean, and hope that the next show will double the amount of people, and we pack the place, and that's the dream, you know. At least hopefully, once you guys get these CDs out and you start playing these shows, then maybe you can get your money back by selling a shitload of CDs at all.
Well,
that's the dream, right?
Obviously,
yeah.
Just you know. That was a show in particular where we just had to take a hit to play it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and everything else. So
yeah, it's
that's
tough. You got to get your name out there somehow, and like sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
And it didn't, you know, it didn't hurt us. It was fun.
Yeah,
and we had, you know, we got to hang out with the Cowboy Boys. They came out.
Yeah, that was really cool.
We hung out with them for a while afterwards. So
right.
They actually have something new that they're, I think September 9th, they're coming out with something new. Did you see that?
Yeah, I've seen they've been working.
Yeah.
Like, I talked to Brian at the block party, and he was saying that they were getting close to wrapping it up. And
That's another good thing about to go back to the block party, but like, it was a chance to, for me, you know.
That's where we met Brad, Pookie.
Yeah.
You know.
Just, you know, to see those guys too. It's good to see you guys that have done it, you know, and like are still around and care about what other people are doing. And stuff.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Well, I mean, I think that's, yeah, anybody that goes to that show, like, I mean, there's people from, yeah, like you said, all these bands, but they're all just fans of the music themselves. And like,
right.
So everybody's just, everybody knows it's the party to be at if you're anywhere within an hour or anything, you know, whatever, drive. Because this show's going to be worth it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's fun.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so, you want to play?
Okay, if you want to.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's do that.
All right.
Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
so far away. Turn off your head, I'll just turn mine. Show me all the ways to say the
for the ride. Nah, seriously, that sounded good. So that's a one you got recorded and
that is one that is on the album.
That's true. That's true. That's actually, and not, you know, I mean, well, I guess I can talk about me on this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we just keep talking about you? Hey, let's just keep talking about you.
It's about Skyver One.
Yeah.
If that's fair. No, that's song is like, that song is literally one of the first ones that I really finished in the apartment.
That was kind of at the end of the Sick Love days too, or was it even before Sick Love?
We kind of put together the riff a little bit.
I thought, because I almost remember, I thought that was something that was towards the tail end of Stone Dog as well.
Yeah, we were starting to put it together a little bit.
Yeah.
And I fucking saw, not to get all stupid or anything, but I saw my ex-girlfriend at the time, and I just that was kind of what pissed me off enough to just start recording.
Yeah.
Because we had just broken up, and I just saw her, and I was just ah! You know? And I just went home, and I just fuck it. And that's one of the ones I laid down. At first.
Right.
You know? And it was so cool to hear it. I hate you so much. Sorry. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's fun to hear that kind of stuff of what my spark a song or whatever, these things, some of the best stuff comes from the tragedy and everything, so it's fun to see what comes out of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, man, on the other side of it, it's awesome. Yeah. And that's kind of literally that's kind of what Skyburnt White's about. Skyburnt White, the name, because I was thinking about the name, and so many of these songs, I think as people, I think we're fun. I think we're a good time, But
I can vouch for that.
Some of the music.
Like party. We like to hang out.
Right. Some of the music is it's heavier, and it's it's kind of a little emotional, I guess, a little bit, and that's fine. Yeah, because I think it has a. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
We can drop panties and bruise eyes in one show.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think there's a lot of rock music, though. There's, it might sound real super heavy, but there's some serious emotions that are in those lyrics. If you can, whatever the band might be, but you can listen to those songs, and it's he might be, whatever, growling and screaming and things, but if you listen to all those lyrics, he's pouring his heart out there, mm-hmm. There's a lot of serious stuff there. And, Corey Taylor from Slipknot and stuff. You listen to Slipknot songs and it sounds just super heavy, but there is some deep stuff in those, in the messaging of those mm-hmm. songs. And and then that's even shows more when he does his Stone Sour stuff, where you can actually hear all the lyrics and things. And
that's where music is it's fun. But I don't really make music just for fun. I really it all started when I was 16, And, like, I didn't know what the fuck else to do, but, like, something had happened, and, like, just a lot of shit had happened.
Yeah.
And I went up in my room, and, you know, like, being young, too, like, when a bunch of stuff happens. And I just say stuff because I don't really even fucking talk about it. But, like, you know, nothing, like, super horrible or anything like that, but just some things. And I just broke. Like, I remember getting out a piece of paper, and I just started writing. And that's before, like, I mean, I, like, played drums all my life and stuff, but, like, for fun. I never really thought, you know, I'm going to play music for the rest of my life. I never thought that until I started writing, and then I found, like, bands that helped me. And that's kind of, like, I started writing just, I don't know, just because of that, I guess, because I wanted, maybe if I thought, if I wrote down what I was feeling at the time, then maybe somebody else could get something out of it later.
Sure, you know somebody, yeah, somebody could, that going through the same thing could relate,
And
it's therapeutic. And
exactly. That's great. I mean, I know that's, I didn't know anywhere I thought about that. Yeah. For me, I guess it is.
It's both. It's therapeutic for you to release it, to write it, and to get that, you know, shit off your chest. But it's also therapeutic for the fan that listens back to be like, man, you know, I'm going through that same.
They really get me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you create that connection through the lyrics, through the melodies and things where people, you know, you relate to your fans on a deeper level than just, oh, hey, that sounds kind of catchy. It's like, dude, there's more to it. So I go through that a lot, man. Like, you know, where there's a lot, like, that's where most people I support are singer-songwriters, and where I totally get into the lyrics of the story and the telling and everything else. And
that's,
I get you, man.
I a lot of times, you know, would relate it, whatever I was hearing to me. At, like, Seven Dust is a band I really like a lot.
Absolutely.
Now that I've become more of a songwriter, I guess, like, I really admire Clint Lowry a lot more now from Seven Dust. I know he lives in St. Louis, and he's fucking awesome guy too, but
He's been doing a lot of work, like, with local guys too, like, so that's cool to see that he's helping out the community.
And dude, I mean, and that's another thing, like, social media, like, this was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I shot him some of the original Skyrim White stuff,
right. And,
you know, like, you know, that's a good song, man, you know, and he, like, told me, like, I'll be honest, like, send me your stuff.
Yeah.
And he was cool enough to reply, and, like, you know, that means a lot, like, coming up and just, like, having somebody you admire. Like, so, that's cool.
Sure.
I don't know why I started talking about that. Oh, yeah.
Seven Dust.
But, like, their lyrics, like, you know, because I just relate, you know, when I hear a song, for me, I guess I'm selfish about music. Like, I picture myself in that song. I'm not going to, like, say every song I do that, but, like, if I really hear a song, once I like it especially, then I really get into it. And, like, bands like Tool and, like, Seven Dust and stuff, that's what I really get into, because some of those albums, like, and, like, Alter Bridge, there's, and I know this is all newer music, but, like, or, you know, because a lot of people talk about classic rock a lot, which is all good stuff, too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I wasn't privileged enough to be able to listen to anything but Christian music till I was fucking, you know, no joke, like, 17.
Yeah.
I was, like, that tightly locked down when it came to that stuff. I had a good childhood, but, and growing up and stuff like that, but it was very closed off to that. So for me, like, I obviously now, but I'm still discovering classic rock all the time. I know a lot of it now because of this guy, mostly too, just getting hammered as fuck and listening to Def Leppard and shit. But anyway,
Nine Arms and stuff.
But even like classic rock, I hear like a lot of classic rock too. When I hear something, really, I take it to me.
Yeah.
And not to keep rambling, but Jeff Buckley. God, do you know who is? That guy, man, his Grace album helped me through more than I could ever even explain to anybody. Like, the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, because when I listen to stuff, when I really listen to it, I just listen to the whole thing. And just over and over, and just his, oh, man. I found so much, like, every album just, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
He just amazes me. And the fact that he died so young, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what gets me about, like, all, you think of, like, you know, even Hendrix and stuff, the what all he created in such a short time. Like, and he's celebrated as one of the best, and, like, you know,
of his time.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's just, like, it's crazy to think, like, you know, that, you know, now we're older than those guys were then, and, like, you know, it's just, that's crazy to me. Like,
I was kind of the exact opposite. I grew up with a dad who was a musician, My dad plays the blues. He's a phenomenal blues guitar player. But, you know, he forced upon me Rush, Led Zeppelin, you know, even Motown stuff, you know. And, like, I mean, even, like, I remember I was in third grade and I stood in line to get Motley Crue's Dr. Feelgood album.
Nice.
At the midnight release at Walmart in Washington, Missouri.
Whoops.
But,
nice.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, and if it wasn't for him, like, I mean, I'm kind of the exact opposite of Gabe. Like, I don't really listen to lyrics so much. Like,
he doesn't.
I really am a guitar player. Like, I listen to, I'm a riff machine. Like, I love anything that's got a good hook guitar-wise. Like, I think being a guitar player, like, what makes you good isn't, like, flashy, like, run up and down the fingerboard and, like, you know, Dimebag Darrell stuff and all that. I think that if you can write a hook on a guitar, like a riff on the guitar that's just as catchy as the chorus of that song,
yeah,
then you're a good guitar player. Yeah. To me. You know.
That's like I mentioned off mic that I listened to a lot of Howard Stern, and recently he had Metallica on. They replayed it, but they were in studio like last September.
Mm-hmm.
They sat in the studio, they talked for a while, but they stood at the mic, so they played their songs in between the interview and things. But I think, like, a lot of people overlook, like, James Hetfield as a guitar player, like, mm-hmm. that, you know, some of the stuff that he's created.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, like, and just like you said, those riffs and things.
Well,
like,
he writes primarily most of those songs.
Yeah, you listen to, like, he talked a lot about how him and, like, I think Howard asked him, like, who does, you know, how do you choose between you and Kirk who takes lead and who takes, you know, and the rhythm and things? And James writes a lot of it, but then he'd rather play rhythm,
yeah,
because he doesn't want to work as hard trying to focus on the songs and things singing, but he lets Kirk take lead on things. But it's just like,
yeah, it's fun sometimes.
It's fun to hear him, like, talk about how they write that stuff, but, you know, besides just you know, what the lyrics are and things, and
yeah,
I think, so the melodies that come about and the harmonies and things, and
for sure. You know, I mean, you know, if we're talking about influences, I mean, it's completely off the cuff, but, like, you know, bands, I mean, even, like, you know, like the Def Leppards, and
yeah,
even simple, you know, I'm wearing a shirt right now, the Ramones. I mean, that's one of my favorite bands ever, and it's, you know, they're a minute and a half, 2 minute songs, and it's the most simple form of songwriting, but there's a reason why they became what they did. I mean,
sure.
They just took the simplest approach to writing music, and they, you know, they were geniuses.
Yeah.
Really.
Right.
You know, played 22 songs in a half an hour. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's this, you know. But at the same time, I mean, there's bands, like, you know, speaking of Clint Lowry, I mean, I think that guy does no wrong when it comes to guitar riffs. And he's one of the catchiest guitar riff writers, in my opinion, you know. And, I mean, as far as guitar playing, I really look up to him as far as that. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, the guy can just go.
Yeah.
You know? And that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget to cup the balls.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anything. Can we pause that for just 1 second?
Yeah.
And another thing I wanted to talk to you about, because I have to just interrupt everything we were just talking about. Change the subject completely right now. Dude.
Lay it on.
I need your help.
Yeah.
Because I know that you're an industry kind of guy. And when I say that, I don't, you know, there used to be these things called Ladies of the Night. And I say that to say
prostitutes.
That you're not like that, per se. But you do know some people.
Yeah.
Okay?
Prostitutes.
And different parts of the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
The naked
the music part. Biz, if you will.
Yeah.
And also the paranormal world.
Yeah.
And if people can see the way I just looked at you, they would know.
No, I get it.
And I'm getting somewhere with this.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm in this kind
of stuff. I listen to Paranormal Task Force, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Paranormal Task Force.
Do you think...
Like the Men in Black?
That there's a chance that they might be able to, like, have a guest go with them?
Yeah, man. We talked about on the show, like...
Like, right? A plus one?
Dude, yeah. Let me talk to him for a second.
Hey, this is an A and B conversation.
Excuse me.
You can see your way.
You guys can just sit in your tower and judge.
You and Mitch can have a conversation.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah, they do a lot of that, man. They got the whole, I mean, you go on their website, you can sign up to go and tag along and
would you do it?
Yeah.
Huh? Would you do it?
Hell yeah.
I mean, would you?
What are we talking about?
Would you go?
I would go, man. Would you go?
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not... I just would want something to happen. I would be disappointed if I went out there and sat for several hours and nothing happened. Like,
just gotta let it
happen. Like, and that's part of the problem. Like, I mean, it's exciting either way, but it's like you can't guarantee that they're gonna have some kind of experience. So it's
right,
like
Satan.
Yeah.
It's time.
I'm clock's ticking, dude.
I've been saying red room for hours out here. What's going on?
You know, I just think you gotta go into it with an open mind.
Yeah.
And also try not to piss yourself.
Right.
Is also the second part. But I really think, like, I think that, like, we should do that. I think you should force yourself to go with me.
Yeah.
And we should record it.
Yeah. We're going to go record a podcast. And
is this like a date?
Yeah.
You just asked him out?
I think so.
You're not invited, by the way.
Are you asking him out?
This is a... But seriously, I mean, I'd like to do that.
Yeah, I mean...
can we do that like...
So Jeremy is a good friend of mine who's on the show, and he's super into this stuff. Like, that's why I invited him on, because he likes
awesome.
Telling all the stories, and, I mean, he tells me a lot of spooky stuff, so it'd be interesting to go out there and see what happens.
Dude. Yeah.
That's like... a whole another world of shit that I don't even want to mess with.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just, you guys can tell me stories. Sorry. And we'll leave it at that.
Mario, what he's trying to say is that he's
I would be scared shitless.
Terrified.
Horrified.
Because he were.
Huh?
Remember the Stone Dog House?
Yeah.
Dude, okay, so for one thing, with me, I'm interested in it because growing up, like, I was taught that it was, like, you know, demonic, like, it's the devil, you know, evil spirits, whatever. So, like, I even saw, like, people that were, like, demon-possessed, like, in Mexico. I saw, like, a little boy, like, lift, like, 5 people off the ground and stuff. And this was when I was, like, little, like, 10, 11, whatever. And so, I don't know, man, you just, like, see so much stuff, and you don't know what it is, and different things happen to me, like, even as, you know, growing up, and we lived in a house together as a band. The Stone Dog House is what we called it. And, man, me and Mario lived upstairs, and we would hear, like, somebody, like, walking up and down the stairs.
This is, like, common.
This is, like, every day.
All the time.
And, like, they would, like, somebody's, like, walking around, like, on the hardwood floor, like, of my bedroom. And one night in particular, like, I'm laying upstairs, and, like, something, and, dude, like, I'm not even making this up. Like, something, like, grabbed my leg and, like, moved it. And, like, I heard something walking around anyway, so I just got up and, like, threw something. I don't even remember what I did. Just, like, threw something. Like, I'm tough or something, you know? And I'm like, get the F out, whatever. But it was pretty gnarly, man. And, like, you would... The attic light, there was, like, this attic that was creepy as fuck. And it went back. And at the same time, like, it had these two little tiny entrance ways, and they went all the way around the house. So, like, dude, like, crawl space, it was fucking creepy, man.
Oh,
like,
not to interrupt, but I thought that was funny that he said, get the F out earlier, and then he just said, fuck, twice. And...
Yeah. I want to be respectful when I'm talking about the ghosts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But we, I mean, dude, it was so much stuff, and not just that. I mean, like, there's so much, much, man, like, and just religion, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, believing what you believe in, and loving Jesus and everything like that. I mean, obviously, but at the same time, like, there's just a lot of stuff that can and can't be explained, and I'm more interested in, you know, what is out there.
Yeah. Well, see, that's my thing is, like, I've never had any of those experiences, so it's really, you know, it's difficult for me to just say I believe it all because I've never had the, you know, interaction. But I mean, I believe what other people have had. You know, and I listen to those stories, and it's, I mean, it's weird stuff, and they can't explain it. It's like, mm-hmm. how do you, why would this many people make up this stuff like that? You know, so,
you know, and like you, I don't know, with me, there's been just times, like, you'll just get a feeling, man, and like, I can't explain it. Like, there's been times, like, even when I lived alone, and, you know, just specifically, I'd be like, one night in particular, I was walking down the hall, and I just felt like something just out of nowhere, like, just, like, I just really tingly or whatever feeling, and I just looked behind me, like, there was something behind me, like in my doorway. And I just could not, and I was just like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you know, just, because that's just how I act when I'm, like, for some reason, I'm not even making this up either. Like, I get, like, scared at first, but then I get mad. And I've been that way ever since I was little. Like, when I, like, I literally will get, like, scared a little bit at first and jumpy, but then I just get mad. And I don't know how to explain it any other way. Like, and it's crazy, but it's like a rush, obviously. I think for a lot of people, too, that's a rush. And I like it.
Yeah.
I like the unknown. But here's another thing. And another thing. Aliens. never had an alien experience, okay? Although there was one time in particular. I saw something in the sky that looked kind of weird. But, you know, that's probably...
We've also done a lot of acid.
I've never done.
No.
Never done that. But anyway, I really am interested in that. Because I just have a hard time believing that we are by ourselves on this little rock in the middle of a universe, in the middle of other universes. And also, here's another thing. Here's another curveball for you. Who even fucking says, and I'm not even trying to be all like Cheech and Chong here about anything, but I'm just saying, like, who says that what we're taught is even reality, man? Like, who
are we even here,
you know,
man?
No, you know, not even just saying that, but like, there was a time whenever when you went to school, they taught you that the world was flat, and if you didn't think the world was flat, they would fucking kill you, right?
Right.
So now, you know, not that they're gonna kill you if you think anything different, but at the same time, like, you're taught that this is one way. You're like, they find out things like throughout the years, they found out a lot of things that change everything, just like that. You know, so. I know at some point I just have faith, and I hope it's in my lifetime, I really do, that everything just gets blown out of the water. Because if you find life elsewhere, that's going to change everything on this planet. I mean, like, for a lot of people, because there's going to be a lot of people that question their faith. And I'm not saying that, like, I'm not trying to be like, there is no God. I'm not saying that, because I don't believe that. You know what I mean? Like, I believe there's God.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But... at the same time, like, that's just going to make people question a lot of things.
What I don't get is, like, with the alien stuff, like, how come they always depict them as, like, wanting to anal probe us?
Well, that's a good question,
yeah,
Shane.
I want to know why are aliens so obsessed with our butts? That's
for
what
that,
I wanna know.
We'll go to our... field reporter, Mario.
Well, let me tell you, Shane, we're up to our assholes and dicks.
What?
No. That is a good question.
These are the things I think
about. Nothing.
I've awesome. Literally got nothing.
That is awesome. Oh, I hate you, bro.
Anyway.
Where do you go from there? I mean, because literally, that is a great question. Why do they want to shove things up our ass?
No, dude, they don't. Listen, okay, they don't always want to do that.
Or is that just like the hillbilly guys, like the down-home guys that like you always see that get abducted by aliens?
Hey.
Is that just their way of like admitting that get together with Earl Jr. and Jimmy Johnson, get together and, you know,
that's another
anal thing, probe each other, and holy shit, Jimmy got abducted by an alien last night.
Why is it always the hillbillies that get abducted in
right.
suit? Like, why? How come no we're like?
It's called a good old fashioned cornhole.
Yeah. How come no like super educated persons come out like, yes, I was abducted by
aliens. Have you ever seen Ancient Aliens?
Nope.
There's a lot more than just the guy with the weird haircut.
Yeah.
Okay, and even he's a pretty smart guy. But I mean, you do have a point though.
These are the things
but
I lie awake
here's
about.
The thing, though. If you were going to, like, just randomly pick off certain places, and not cause a big, you know, stir, wouldn't you pick Country Bumpkin wouldn't in the middle you? Of fucking nowhere? I mean, because to them, if you're like on a flying saucer, now I don't know, saucer. I'm just assuming.
Okay? I'm just assuming.
But if you're flying on a saucer, if you will, and said saucer is coming up overlooking, let's say, a valley.
Said field.
That valley actually might have like a couple towns in it, right?
A creek?
If you're flying maybe? A saucer, you're just like a fucking valley. There's no
is there
buildings.
A creek there?
And you just pick up fucking Billy Bob and Bobby Sue, and there you go. There's nothing wrong with that, man. Let them experiment on us. Because let me tell you something. If those motherfuckers really did crash in fucking Area 51, we have, like, you know, the tanks with them. And I'm just going way out in left field here. But let's say they really did crash. We experimented the fuck out of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, and that makes no sense. We experimented the fuck out of those guys.
That's how we got the iPhone.
Maybe.
Boom.
There you go. Boom.
Thank you, Steve Jobs.
Maybe, and I'm going out on a limb here, maybe those guys crashed. We anal probed them first.
Dude,
and then now all of them are good. Like, I saw what you did to my friend. You're getting that shit back.
It's possible that happened. But I don't think so, though. I don't.
They could be some spiteful fuckers.
But here's one thing for you. And, you know, I have a request, actually. I want you to interview Stephen...
Hawking?
Lynch? Dr. Stephen Lynch?
That's a comedian.
No, Stephen Lynch is a comedian. Dr. Lynch, though. I think it is Stephen Lynch.
Maybe Dr. Marvin?
Anyway, on the day... Well,
Dr.
The Dave Glover
Leo
show, right? He does Paranormal
Marvin.
Tuesdays. Anyway, this guy is, like, really interesting. And he's like, he does, like, he comes in for like a 30-minute spot or something, like every Tuesday, he has for years. But he, I bet he's totally accessible. Like, if you guys could get him, oh my God. He's my hero, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, see, he's awesome. There's so many things that he's been right about. Like, if you listen to the show, now that he's wrong about a lot of stuff, too, and it's funny because they tease him about it all the time. But he really is, he's a pretty smart guy.
Hmm.
I'm just saying. Anyway.
I don't know. I like to wonder, like, if any of that, like, Area 51 stuff is true. Like, if, you know, not to sound like total conspiracist, but, like, there,
yeah.
I mean, I there's got to be something, like, you think, though, like I said, that it's not being told. I mean, they obviously don't want to freak out mass population.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You don't want to cause a panic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
don't get your panties in an uproar.
But
I don't know. It'd be weird, though, to think, like, if there's this Area 51 or whatever, you know, thing that exists and whatever, that it's just full of UFOs and aliens and all kinds of weird things. That
weird
we found.
Things.
Well, I'm not like a specialist on this or anything.
Yeah.
But
you
that's
know, why we got you on here, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what it, you know, to talk about aliens and fucking ghosts and shit like that.
Ghost aliens.
Aliens fucking ghosts. That's what we're talking about right now.
Here on the Rock Paper Podcast. Aliens fucking ghosts. You heard it here, folks. That's what we got for you. That's what you get with Skyburn White. Seriously. But back
a bunch
to
of mambo jahambo.
What I was saying.
And on the other hand.
No, but the band, seriously, I'm excited about it. I know you are too.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I'm excited.
It really is, like, you know, I don't want to make it sound like about, and I know we haven't or whatever, but it's not about, like, everything else. Like, it really is, for me, it is about this band now, and I'm really proud of it. I'm really happy that we're getting a chance to do it and finally putting it out there for people. And, you know, like I said, just getting a chance for some of, like, my production to come through, and you guys, you know, having faith in me to do that and play with me and stuff. So it means a lot, man.
I mean, the album pretty much, you know, once we get these next three songs done, I mean, it pretty much just sums up, like, everything that each of us have gone through together and each of us have gone through individually. You know, and I mean, we're just regular guys, so I mean, you know, people are going to be able to relate to it.
I'm not
you know,
yeah, this guy's an alien.
Yeah, And I don't fuck ghosts, though.
No, he's a fucking ghost fucker alien.
But the other guys, though, we need to talk about them for a second.
Yeah.
They're not here right now.
No.
They're with us in spirit.
They're in spirit.
They're no longer with us.
In spirit.
Tonight.
Appreciate you.
But cool guys. Just awesome guys.
Just stand-up dudes.
No, our best friends, seriously. Jake, we played with in a couple bands. Mm-hmm. He's the drummer, and he's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he has, like, drummer and Stone in Dog. His basement, so we kind of couldn't make it without him.
Right.
And also Dill. James.
Dill's Dill. Been, you
James
know.
James the Hammer Dill, if you will. He's the bass player. And
Gabe's played with him longer than I have, but yeah. I mean, that was he. Dill was the bass player in the band that I joined whenever I, you know, we through a mutual friend all got together.
We all three lived in a one bedroom apartment.
Yeah,
like a couple streets over, like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
that sounds.
It was crazy.
Pretty crazy.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I lived in a bedroom.
Down by the river.
Growing up,
lived in a bedroom.
Hey,
I moved into this home with my dad's girlfriend, and so it was me and my brother, and she had two kids. So Sally, the girl, had her own room, and me, Nick, and my brother Dustin all lived in one, but three dudes in one bedroom. Three teenage guys.
Whoa,
there was some weird smells.
It's a lot of dicks.
Come on, dudes.
It's a lot of dudes.
Why do you automatically go to dicks?
Because that's what happens.
Whatever. Anyway, that.
But yeah, it was
intense.
So I relate for you guys. That's how I connect to you guys. I once lived with two other guys.
Well, we coped with alcohol.
Right.
We
just had a party every night.
There was a lot of it, and there's
the Adler House too. Was the.
I think there's quarters involved.
Yeah.
Don't ask me. We don't need to go there. But it was
lots of quarters.
Good times. And anyway,
lots of natty light.
All been friends for a long time. That's with this band. That's why I put it together with them
because
they know me better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, so what? We got a Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page. We have facebook.com/ Skyburnt White.
Yeah. Hey, Mitch.
There's Mitch.
There's Mitch.
There's my cat. I really do want to give a shout out to my cat, though. Really couldn't make it without her.
Yeah.
Her name is Mitch. And that's because I thought she was a he. But,
turned out, Mitch is a Mitchell.
She writes most of my lyrics, and I get most of my vocal lines from her. I just, right. I'll sit around, and when she does that,
she's got a hell of a range. Hell of a range.
My beautiful, fantastic girlfriend, Freya, who's sleeping in the other room, because she hates me. So she does that well.
Right.
Most people do, once they get to know me a little better. Anyway, what were we talking about, Facebook?
Yeah, where else can I find you on?
Oh.
On the World Wide Web.
Facebook.com/SkyburntWhite. Also, ReverbNation.com/SkyburntWhite. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
You can also email us at SkyburntWhite@gmail.com, maybe?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I think that's a
thing. Give it a try.
People don't fucking email us. Are you serious? But you can sign up for our email list there. And also, we have a website, skyburntwhite.com, that's seriously in development right now. Really excited about it because we got a pretty good developer on it. He's got a lot of cool ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some stuff that I'm going to put on there. Like, I hope people listen to it because I'm gonna try to get not just the stuff we're putting out for the album, but a lot of stuff that we might not release. Like, just some extra stuff, so if you're kind of bored, just want to check out some older stuff or whatever, then you can do that. That's definitely a thing.
I like that kind of stuff. I talked about it on here before with, I got a copy of Exit 714's demos, mm-hmm. like, when they were just, like, basement recordings kind of thing, like, and then they went to the studio, and, you know, obviously you get the finished product after the studio. And it's fun to see how a song can take life of its own and become, yeah. you know, really blossom in a studio compared to what they, you know, what the initial idea started as. So it's fun hearing some of those rough cuts, those demos, and
And on that note too, like one cool thing, like I was just doing, like we're at the point where we're kind of finalizing some of the songs, and I went back to some of the original recordings tonight and just heard some things that I'm gonna make sure get back into the mix now. You know what I mean? It's cool. Like on some of these songs, like they've been around for a little bit too, not out.
Yeah.
Like the only people have heard it are us, but at the same time, like it's just, it's like you said, it's grown. But that's another reason why I'm so proud of this stuff, because it really is. Pretty polished, and it's a good taste of what we are and what, you know.
Sometimes some of the also let somebody take another, maybe take some time to, or a fresh look at it sometimes, like to come back and look at something like, hey, there really is something here though. We should come back and look at this, and and you might draw that riff and take it to another song or whatever it might be. But
I don't know if you noticed this. You never saw Sick Love, did you?
No.
See, Sick Love was primarily this guy, Frank Pettis, like a lot of guitar stuff he wrote.
Yeah.
So this band was like, a lot of this stuff is like, well, first of all, it's the first band where I'm playing, like, you know, full rig and everything the whole time. Because I've always been singer. But with this band, like, just really bringing it together, like, I had, you know, had to. And I'm really glad I did, because I'm getting a lot more comfortable and it's fun. It's fun to not just record it, or you know, but to really get a chance to play it live. It's a whole nother experience. It's a lot harder because you got to drag your fucking gear everywhere. And now I understand why for years, man, you know, like in the whole lead singer thing. Because seriously, I just showed up with my voice. That's all you did. Like, but
lugging gear around for years, man. I'm so happy that you finally know what I've been going through. Seriously.
But yeah,
it's just the nature of the beast.
September 20th.
Yes.
I don't know if this will be out by then. But September 20th, we have a show. It's a OATM's CD release show.
Right, okay.
We actually met them at the Ink Spot Block Party. They saw us play, and they had Monster Eats Manhattan, couldn't make the show. So we're actually playing it for them in their spot. But it's going to be an awesome time. There's quite a few people that, you know, of our fans that are going to be there. We know.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that people show up for this. Another cool band that's going to be on there, Arrhythma. Which, I mean, I've played with them.
Great guys.
We played with them for years, too.
Yeah, great guys.
I haven't got a chance to play a show with them in years, and I'm really excited to do that again. So it's going to be a good time. And I really, you know, hope people come out to it.
Yeah, there we go. September 20th. Come out.
It's a Pops,
Yep.
$5.
$5.
If you bring 10, then that'll probably buy you a beer.
The glass.
So that's a five.
The cup that the beer.
Fur ones
comes in.
And fur curders.
Fur curders. Fur curders. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Do we want to? We're gonna leave them on another song.
Yeah, we need to do that.
All right, and what's this one?
You know, I've been thinking about it for a while. Let's decide on it right now. Should it be, I could give them like In What World, but it wouldn't be the new one, it'd be the old one. Or I could do Not Machine. It would have to be either Smoke, or it could be Used to It.
Used to It.
Really? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So can we do it like a segue into it?
Yeah.
So this song actually, and you might, I don't know if you might care or whatever, but this song is actually, it's a pretty cool song. I don't think it's going to make it on the album, but look at his look on there. We might put it on there. There might be room for it, but we haven't played it live yet, but it's one that I made last December, and it was, it's just a pretty good sum of a lot of different things I was going through for a long time. And it actually, it's a piano riff, which I'm not a piano player by any stretch of the imagination, you know what I mean? But I was playing piano on my old cell phone, and it was just a recording I had heard of me, like, just making up this, like, piano part, and I heard it, and I showed it to Jake, the drummer, and for Sky Burnt White, and he was really into it, and we took it to the studio last winter. We went to Blue Creek Production. And laid that song down there, And it was a good time, man, because it really, for me, it was a good release, because at the time I was working a lot, but I'm, it's a good song. I really do think it is. Mm-hmm. And I think if you care about creativity, this is the song for you. Like, and I'm not saying I'm so fucking creative or anything like that, but it's not, you know, what Sick Love was, and not to go back to that, but was to try to be commercial. We were purposely trying to do that. And not that Skyburn White isn't going to have those songs, because we will. But we're putting out an album here. Yeah. And that's what's so great, because for me, that's a chance to, you know, for anybody that actually wants to listen to more than just a couple songs that we might get on the radio, sure. You know, here's a couple things, because for me, I'm an album guy. Yeah. And trust me, man, like, when I say there's some songs on this album that mean a lot to me that we probably won't ever play live or will rarely play live. And this song is probably one of them. But it's called Used to It, and it's I like it a lot. It's a really good song.
All right. Here we go. Used to It. Sky Burnt White.
Nothing changes, just gets used to it. Then it dies before you even know it's gone. What will you do? No voice in your head is there to tell you.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.